Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on this very interesting Thursday, January the 8th, 2026, 11 minutes past the hour. Hey, we've got more time this hour. Joined in studio by Christian Pearson. Glad to have him here, as we always are. And phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. So hopefully this isn't a jinx, because last hour I said a lot of news yesterday in the state of Ohio, and we never talked about a bit of news that happened yesterday in the state of Ohio. So let's go there, because that's very important. And we're going to take this in processions. I know everybody knows all the news now, but let's take it how it came yesterday. The first thing that happened was Vivek Ramaswamy chose his running mate. This was Senate President Rob McCauley. And here's basically the statement. Ohio needs a from McCauley. Ohio needs a businessman, not a bureaucrat, a creator, not a quitter, a visionary, not a victim. That leader is Vivek Ramaswamy, McCauley said in a statement to NBC News. He will be one of the boldest leaders in the history of our state, and I'm honored to help execute his vision. All right. That's the first thing that happened yesterday morning. What'd you make of Senate President Rob McCauley being chosen as Vivek Ramaswamy's running mate? Certainly checked all the boxes that Vivek Ramaswamy needed.
So McCauley is term limited in the Senate. He's been in the Senate since 2017. So he has nowhere to he can't stay in the Senate. So everyone thought he was going to run for the newly redistricted 9th district up in Toledo. It's the northwest corner of the state. It was redrawn to include Rob McCauley's home county. So, you know, that was what he was probably going to do. And then apparently he decided he didn't want to do it. So lieutenant governor was the only option left for him. He's a pretty inoffensive pick, though, I must say. In 2019, he voted to confirm Amy Acton as the director of the Ohio Department of Health.
Oh, did he?
And I opened Facebook during the break, and I saw a post from his Facebook, and he was deriding Amy Acton as a quitter, as this and that. He voted to confirm her in the Ohio Senate in 2019. So, you know, he'll have to answer for that.
But good choice.
Yeah, it's a good, you know, it checks the boxes that he needed. It's pretty, you know, inoffensive.
Then, within hours, Amy Acton announced her running mate, Lieutenant Governor choice, David Pepper. Now, this is of interest to us because David was at Mary Ellen's birthday party, spoke that night, has been a good friend over the years because he did run the Democratic Party here in Ohio from 2015 to 2020. So I was in contact with him a lot because he would line up the candidates to come on the shows like Rich Cordray and people of that nature. Good choice?
I think it was a good choice. I think obviously, it's harder to pick a candidate in Ohio because there's less of a Democratic bench. I think, you know, with the time that David Pepper put in, you know, he ran for auditor in 2010, then he ran for AG in 2014, you know, and, you know, he got drubbed in both of those just because they were not good years for Ohio Democrats. And to stay active, you know, it's 6 years after, you know, he left this time and, you know, 2020, it's been 5 years, but that's not my point. You know, he's stayed active in party politics. He's, you know, stayed involved to help elect local candidates. He's been with Amy Acton since before she announced. So, you know, I think not only, you know, it makes sense because they've been very close, but, you know, he has experience in Democratic politics. And, you know, I think it's a better choice than, you know, a member of the General Assembly, just because, you know, he already has some name recognition. But, you know, unless either if Vivek or Dr. Acton made a horrible, you know, their pick would not impact anything unless they made a really bad choice, like a Sarah Palin level pick, like a Josh Mandel would have been.
Well, and I think Amy Acton checked all the boxes.
Oh, yeah.
Male, experience, you know, here we are.
I don't know why any Democrats are complaining in Ohio. I think it's just you kind of get what you get, and you sort of, you know, you fight like hell to make it work. But, you know, I don't know if people aren't, some people in internet comments aren't happy because he hasn't held office or because, you know, if he lost.
It has been low-level offices. He was a city council person in Cincinnati and a commissioner in Hamilton County.
He has run statewide several times, and he ran the state part, which, I mean, is arguably more important experience than governing, because we've seen that you don't have to have qualifications for, you know, any. We've seen that in Marion. We've seen that statewide. I mean, Josh Mandel was a state treasurer for 8 years, and he put a lot of stock in the doing crypto and stuff that, you know, other state treasurers we know wouldn't have done. So, you know, I think as long as he gets in there, then, you know, it's the battle to get in there that, you know, you need to think about in a running mate, and he has the campaign experience.
Does it surprise you that they both went the safe route with what they needed? Vivek Ramaswamy clearly needed somebody with experience, clearly needed somebody to help the old guard of Republicans, and clearly, unfortunately, this is the way it is, it had to be somebody who was not a Caucasian. It had to be a Caucasian. Yeah. So he checked all the boxes.
Yeah, I mean, he did. It's his race to lose. It's Amy Acton only wins if he, you know, leaves the door open. And, you know, I think it's an inoffensive pick, and it will, you know, I think it will work out, you know.
And again, unfortunately, Amy Acton had to choose a male. She had to choose somebody with experience, because this is the world we live in, and she checked all the boxes. So neither one of them did anything extraordinarily odd.
No, and in a week, no one's really going to care. You know, I think.
I don't know about that.
Well,
I don't know.
I don't know if care is right, but it's not going to be dominating the news cycle.
Well, here's the difference that I see in these choices. Rob McCauley, to me, and I don't know the guy, obviously, that I certainly don't know him as well as I know David Pepper, but Rob McCauley does not seem to be a big personality that I have seen yet. So I don't see him being the attack dog in this race. Ramaswamy, I think, does that pretty well. But certainly, where Amy Acton seems to be a little more shy and reserved in attacking Ramaswamy, David Pepper is not. And I think that's the difference.
I would agree with that observation. I hadn't thought of it that way. But, you know, anyone who hears David Pepper, you know, he's written books, and he gives his social media lectures about, you know, the issue of the day. And he's a very good speaker. And, you know, I when I saw Amy Acton, you know, the last time I saw her speak, I thought she was, her public speaking skills had gone up tremendously, her ability to work a room, to work a crowd. But what I read in some article is that her big strength is talking to people one-on-one after the event and shaking hands and doing that, whereas David Pepper's is just riling everybody up, warming up the room. And so, you know, if they're on the stump together, I think that'd be great. But it also, you know, he can just go, he can go places by himself, and he will be just as captivating, which I think.
But will that draw a crowd?
I think when you see, you know, David Pepper, not only candidate for lieutenant governor, but he's, you know, New York Times bestselling author. He is former chair of the Ohio Democratic Party, compared to a state senator from just outside Toledo.
In Marion, Ohio, though, Rob McCauley would draw the bigger crowd.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, he's got the, I mean, just as David Pepper would draw the big crowd in, you know, Cleveland or Cincinnati or Columbus.
Well, I want to talk about that for a second, but the first thing I want to get to is, why did they announce on the same day? Now, I got to give Vivek Ramaswamy the edge here. We all knew he was announcing. The rally was set.
Well, because he announced that there was a rally, and it's because the filing deadline is soon, and you have to file together.
I think it's February. Oh. So, okay, that's fine, but the same day. I mean, why wouldn't Amy Acton have waited for today? Let them have their news cycle. Let them have their rally last night in Cleveland. Why would you do that? Why would you wait 1 hour after...
I don't know, but I did not agree with that decision. I thought, you know, if you're clever with the media, you could have, you know, gotten your own news cycle. But, you know, in their defense, maybe, you know, if Vivek was going to get to it first, you know, he would have had the airwaves to himself for a day. You know, it's his pick, it's his pick, it's his pick. But now they sort of have to share the spotlight. Whereas, you know, if Acton had announced today or tomorrow, she would still be sharing it with Vivek. So I think this move, while I don't agree with it, it took away the spotlight from going completely to Vivek.
Well, here's the other problem, and I heard, I'm not going to say their names, but I've heard Democrats already complaining about this, that, okay, you decided to announce them both on the same day, yesterday. Okay. Well, Vivek had a big rally in Cleveland with TV cameras and media and a crowd and big speeches and so on and so forth. Amy Acton and David Pepper's first appearance was in a sit-down meeting in Columbus.
You know, I think...
Roundtable.
For as much of a diehard Democrat as I am, I think we need to stop doing these roundtables. I mean, I've seen Sherrod Brown do 5 or 10, so like just where he...
You can't even get into them, can you?
Downtown Columbus, you know, I don't know where they are. You select media invited, like... I've been waiting. I so wanted them to do this in 2022 or, you know, 2024. Have a rally. Richard Cordray would have rallies. He would, Obama and Biden, and, you know, you would have big crowds. Rich Cordray would have big rallies. All right.
Well, I mean, Vivek went to Cleveland for a reason. That's an area where he will not be strong and wants to be strong. Amy Acton and David Pepper were in Columbus, an area where they are strong. See, this again, I don't... why is she working Columbus over so hard? To me, this doesn't seem like one of the areas.
I don't know. It might just be out of... they were in Bexley. She lives in Bexley. So...
she's going to have to drive.
Perhaps it was... I don't know. Perhaps... the decision was, you know, the announcement was rushed, and they said, let's find a place that's nearby. But I think the Democrats should be doing more big rally-style events. I mean, it's just a wasted opportunity. I mean, who's going to look more intimidating? The guy in front of the mic and the podium with the flags behind him and the, you know, people everywhere? Or the person who just, you know, looks like they brought a camera into a restaurant? I mean... I think, again, this is Vivek's race to lose and the Democrats have to run a flawless campaign. Why not try something? Why not try to put a rally together? Even if it's in Columbus where you're strong. We've been losing nonstop in this day. So obviously turnout is not high enough. Enthusiasm is not high enough. So it wouldn't hurt us to do rallies in these areas. It would help us boost turnout. So, you know.
Well... within hours of this all happening yesterday, the governor, Mike DeWine, sends a press release out. He's probably not all that into speaking right now with the whole Somali thing going on here in Ohio. But here was the statement. It's not a long one. With the election year upon us, I am joining Republicans across Ohio in supporting our dynamic ticket for governor led by Vivek Ramaswamy. Ohio is winning new businesses, new business projects from the coast, and Vivek will keep the momentum going. Vivek Ramaswamy knows that Ohio is the best place to build a business, raise a family, and pursue your vision of the American dream. The first important decision of any governor makes is who will be his choice for lieutenant governor. Vivek Ramaswamy has made a great pick in Senate President Rob McCauley to be his running mate. Senate President McCauley is a strong leader who is well respected by the members of the General Assembly. He knows Ohio and brings geographical balance to the ticket. Governor Mike DeWine endorses Vivek Ramaswamy. Now here's what's strange about this. 3 weeks ago, he would not endorse Vivek Ramaswamy. The day that the lieutenant governor choices made, he endorses Vivek. And of the three paragraphs he sent out yesterday, the biggest paragraph was about McCulley. So clearly, that tipped the scale for Mike DeWine.
I don't think Mike DeWine will be stumping for this ticket.
I don't think he'll be asked.
No. And I mean, even Kasich only had one or two appearances for DeWine, and Kasich didn't endorse DeWine until the end. Granted, that was probably, you know, DeWine beat Kasich's lieutenant in the primary, so there was probably bad blood, but that's beyond the point. It sounds like, you know, as a guy who didn't want to endorse Vivek Ramaswamy, which I don't know why he feels any. All the Republicans who helped get him to where he is are long dead and gone. You know, this is not Mike DeWine's Ohio Republican Party anymore, so I don't know why he's. I mean, he's a Republican, and the optics are a non-endorsement is basically don't vote for this guy, and he's not going to endorse Amy Acton. But I feel like DeWine probably pulled the trigger on this because he understood that optics of the media today, if you don't endorse Vivek, then sort of by definition you're endorsing his opponent.
Yeah, but here's another thing. Why do this the same day? The news cycle is now dominated by McCulley being chosen. Then it's dominated by David Pepper being chosen. And then you put your endorsement out in the same news cycle. You know, why? Why did all this have to happen in the same day? By the way, in the same 8-hour period, all these things happened.
Probably because you don't want it to be its own. Like, you sort of, you know, had to push it out quietly, and that was that. So, you know, but at the end of the day, they're both Republicans, and, you know, one is running to succeed the other, so.
Here's something else I don't understand. What does this line mean? And I think people should pay attention to it. He knows Ohio, talking of McCulley, and he brings geographical balance to the ticket. Now, I looked this up yesterday. McCulley is from Cincinnati. David Pepper is from Cincinnati. Vivek Ramaswamy is from Cincinnati.
McCulley's from Toledo, I thought.
No, he's born in Cincinnati.
He's born.
Okay, so they're all born in Cincinnati. All three of those people are born in Cincinnati. So what's the geographical balance?
Well, I don't know why Republicans care about geographical balance. Basically, you know, they have 6 seats on the Supreme Court. 5 of them are from Southwest Ohio. They're either from Butler County or they're from Hamilton County. So that's first and foremost what I think is ridiculous. They care about geographical balance.
Or DeWine does.
Yeah. But, I mean, I guess McCulley's politically, his home is the Toledo area. It's Northwest Ohio.
Yeah, but isn't Vivek's Columbus?
Yeah.
Is that geographical balance?
Yeah, I mean, I guess if we're looking at it like, but I mean, you could say, you know, so if we're going to go where you're from, so Acton's from Youngstown, then everyone else is from,
which I think is very odd that everybody else is from Cincinnati in this race.
I mean, I guess the Ohio Republicans just have something for Cincinnati. I mean, plus Pepper, but that's different. But if we go your political or your new home, it's, you know, Columbus, Toledo, and then Cincinnati. So at least the two lieutenant governors are, you know, it does add some geographical balance, I guess.
Yeah, but DeWine is saying on the Vivek Ramaswamy ticket, it adds geographical balance.
I mean,
Toledo and Columbus?
I think it's better than, you know, picking someone from, he could have picked, you know.
Wouldn't you want somebody from who resides in the south, southern part of the state? Wouldn't that be more geographically balanced?
I mean, I think you can look at it from both ways. Certainly, you know, the Republican. I mean, I don't know. They might have picked him because there's a big congressional race up there, and by maybe having a resident of that district on the ballot, you'll pump Republican numbers up. I don't know, but I mean. You know, I don't think it's going to hurt him.
I'm just surprised. I don't know what that statement means.
I mean, I think it's just, you know, instead of picking two people from the same area, you're picking not where you're from, where you reside and where you've made your career. Vivek's made his career in allegedly in Columbus, though, you know, I think if he wanted to add real geographic balance with Vivek being a longtime California resident, he would have picked someone from Maine to be his lieutenant governor, and that adds geographic balance to the Ohio ticket.
So now we know how it's all lined up. What do you think? 11 months to go.
It is Vivek's race to lose. This is a state that voted. Let's look at it this way. I know we voted for Trump by 11, maybe 12 in 24. But weak Democrat, strong Republican turnout-wise. This year it's going to be, Republicans aren't going to turn out as they did for Trump. Not, I'm sure, you know, there are other factors, but the fact that he is not Trump is above all. If you don't see the Trump name on the ballot, you're not going to race to the polls. There are other factors, like you mentioned. Unfortunately, you know, the society we live in, a lot of people harbor implicit biases. But you know that's one of the reasons he picked McCauley, was to try to offset that. I think, you know, Acton has to run a perfect race, and she's got to take risks. And I think,
have you seen that yet?
What happened with the lieutenant governor can't. You know, it wasn't a huge flub, but it wasn't indicative of anything great. I, you know, taking risks, like instead of doing your lieutenant governor announcement at a cafe in front of, you know, 20 or 30 people, you know, there's a huge Democratic Party in Columbus. Andrew Ginther runs the whole thing. Joyce Beatty runs the whole thing. They can get people to the convention center or to a hotel or to a park. Do a rally there. Get cameras. Get people. Like, this is basic. It's basic politics, and we need bold. I think they need to make bold. Granted, they have to play it safe because we can't make any mistakes. But you know, I don't know. I think this is the best chance that we have had to win the governor's race with irrespective of how the candidates themselves will run. Best national environment for Democrats since 2006. You know, even though it's only Trump's second year, it's basically the six-year itch midterm-wise. And, you know, I don't know. It'll be our best shot. So, and I think in Ohio, it has to be a perfect storm for the Democrat to win.
Really? Even with all the news, the way we see it, that Acton's ahead in the polls, and that Vivek Ramaswamy has all these Achilles heels.
The polls said Hillary was ahead. The polls said Sherrod was ahead. The polls said that Biden had a chance in Ohio. The polls, you know.
Did they? As we got close to the election?
Well, there were polls in 2020 that had Biden very close. He lost Ohio by 8. There were polls that had Hillary close or ahead significantly. She lost by 8. There were polls in the, you know, I saw so many polls that had Sherrod Brown beating Maria, so many polls.
But did anybody watching that race think that that was going to happen?
If there's a place that the polls should not be trusted, it is Ohio when they show a Democrat leading. Based on my personal observation and how I've been disappointed oh so many times. Cordray, I mean, he had the race won, and I know Trump came to Ohio, but he was still pretty, you know, he was still reasonably.
Came to the Cleveland area.
He was, yeah, my, you know, uncle was an arm's reach away from Barack Obama when he went to Cleveland. I mean, I think something else is worth noting, too, when Sherrod Brown ran against your friend Jim Renacci.
Dear friend of mine, yes.
Dear friend of the show, Jim Renacci. He was up in the polls by 15 points. He was up in the polls by a bunch and only won by like 7 or 8. So, point of this long tangent is I will never believe a poll in the state of Ohio showing a Democrat doing remotely well. I'm going to go off of our last presidential elections, and that's been Trump plus 8, Trump plus 8, Trump plus 11. And that's where every Democrat starts.
But I don't think in the last election that anybody thought Ohio was a swing state. Hardly any money was spent here by either candidate.
No, that's true, and I'm not saying it was. I just think for, you know, Democrats have to have the opinion that they are underwater here. You know, this is not a swing state, so you have to work, you know, twice as hard. You cannot make any mistakes. You have to run the best campaign with, you know, your opponent has to trip up, and, you know, the national environment has to be favorable. And I think Amy Acton has a great chance of doing that. You know, she's a unique, very unique, she's a unique candidate. And, you know, I think the fact that so many Republicans put their trust in her, even though, you know, a lot on the far right are walking that back, I think there will be so many more people who just appreciate science and who appreciate the fact that she was, you know, a beam of comfort for, you know, a couple months during the pandemic. So I think, I do think she has the best shot.
Well, here's the difference that I see in this. It's not so much that Amy Acton's a great candidate or campaigner or any of that, because I don't think we've seen either one of those things as of yet. But there are things about Vivek Ramaswamy that are completely different than any other Republican who has run for governor, ever, really. We do not know the popularity of Trump in Ohio right now. That's an interesting thing, because in his first term, nobody would have doubted that he was very popular in Ohio. Gas prices were down. Tax cuts did happen. People were very happy with what was going on in the country until COVID hit in Trump's first term. And yet, DeWine could only win the gubernatorial race by 200,000 votes. That's not a lot. That's under the Trump administration. Okay, that's number one. Now, number two is that we've talked about some of the problems that Vivek Ramaswamy has. The Republican always has to win in the rural areas by large margins, because they win the they lose the more they learn the higher population areas. Yeah. They lose those by large margins. Okay, so can Vivek Ramaswamy win those areas by big margins? Can he win them by John Kasich and Mike DeWine margins? Because when I look at that 2022 Republican primary, all those counties that Joe Blystone won are the counties I want people to watch on election night. Because that's where Vivek Ramaswamy's problem is going to be. And is it easy to lose 200,000 votes in those counties? Easy. Very easy.
Before I address that, the Democrats have horrible turnout problems. So before the Acton campaign can get too excited, they have to really turn out their base. That's one. But two,
did Cordray turn it out, in your opinion?
Not
within 200,000.
Not as well as you should have. I mean, granted, I don't know what you need, because we don't really have a good benchmark. But, you know, I think certainly, I mean, there's always more you can do. But, I saw a map a couple of years. I was writing a paper on, you know, why Trump won in 2016, and I saw a map how Romney did in counties like Wyandotte, Marion, Richland, Ashland versus how Trump did. You know, it was, 10, 15, 20 point difference. And I don't think Vivek can, he'll probably get up there just because these areas have swung more to the right as time has gone by. But I want to go back to 2009 and 2010. The Tea Party is calling Barack Obama Barack Hussein Obama. This is a guy with dark skin and a funny name who we think is not from here. We're saying he's a Muslim, he's from Kenya, he's this, he's that. These same people in, rural areas, and not making a generalization, but that's where most Republicans live, in these counties where Vivek needs to do well, these are the same people who are, detesting Barack Obama for all these things. But they're now being asked to vote for a guy with dark skin who's not a Christian, who has a different name.
And Renacci said Hinduism is going to be a big problem.
Yeah, which
for Vivek.
The irony of this is that, based on what I know about Hinduism, I've spoken to many people of that faith. It's the most welcoming faith out there. It's more welcoming by Christianity by a mile. So I think the fact that people are going to, they're really shooting themselves in the foot, because the fact that you would discriminate against someone for being Hindu, which is the most welcoming out of the faiths, I'm sure he
maybe they won't be discriminating,
but they won't. And, you know, that would be, I think, you know, a plus for society if that was not a factor. But, you know, I would have to assume that, you know, this is not the progressive thinking society we want it to be.
I guess what I'm saying is I have not seen, and maybe it's because it's early, I have not seen the big push for Vivek Ramaswamy. I have not seen him drawing the big crowds. I have not seen him...
The crowd last night was not big.
Right, and I have not seen all of... Where's the fervent push for him? Because certainly there was for Kasich. Certainly there was for DeWine.
Granted, I mean, we're still in January, so all of our heads are in general election mode already.
Because we've got no primaries.
I know. So normally we'd be having these conversations in May and June. Now the lack of primary has pushed. Now, there is a primary. I mean, I think Heather Hill's still on the ballot. Casey Putsch is on the ballot. There are Republicans on the ballot. So that's a good indicator. How much of the vote does Casey Putsch get in a place like Wyandotte? Does he get,
that's right.
Does he get 30% of the vote in
that's
Wyandotte
right.
County? So I think that's, you know.
Well, again, the Casey Putsch, the Heather Hills, these are Republicans.
Yes.
Why are they not confident in Vivek Ramaswamy?
That's a really good question. And, you know, I've seen a lot of, you know, they would have been Tea Party Republicans. Now they are far right MAGA people. They don't have confidence in Vivek Ramaswamy. I mean, Jim Renacci.
Joe Blystone doesn't.
I think Joe Blystone, I take the word of accomplished politicians like Jim Renacci a bit more.
Okay.
But, I mean, I guess Joe Blystone did do better than Renacci in the primary.
He won more counties, but he didn't win more votes.
Okay, oops. But I don't know. I think there's a whole plethora of reasons, and we've discussed them, and I'm sure you will continue to do that through November, as to why Vivek. I mean, if it were Rob McCauley at the top of the ticket, we wouldn't be having this conversation. It would be, or if there was a Dave Yost or a John Husted, you know, this race would be likely Republican. No one would be talking about it. It's the fact, not only, you know, are there conversations to be had about how his personal identity will impact him in this race. It's the fact of, you know, his shady business dealings. You know, I don't have a great understanding of them on my own, but the fact that, you know, you've built most of your businesses out of state, the fact that, you know, you ran for president, you know, most people who really care start small. Mike DeWine was a county prosecutor. You would think ideal presidential candidate from Ohio. He's held every office you can think of. But, you know, he was the governor. If Vivek didn't immediately run for president, I think, you know, you wouldn't be facing these allegations that, you know, this is just going to be a stepping stone for something else, or, you know, I don't know. I think it's, there's a lot to think.
I just think it's very odd that this year we have no incumbent for governor, and you get two people who have never held office. One a woman. We've never had an elected female governor. One non-white. We've never had an elected non-white governor. You know, it would seem that one of the parties would have put up what Ohio has always elected against something that Ohio has never elected. And it's weird to me that that didn't happen. It almost seems like the Democrats tend to do this. You know, if DeWine was ever vulnerable, it was during the pandemic. He was the first sitting governor to be challenged in a primary in over a century. And in his own party's primary, he couldn't get 50% of the vote. And who do they run against him? Nan Whaley. Nan Whaley, a mayor from Dayton that nobody knew. And she, again, a first. The first female to run, to get the party's nomination for Ohio for governor.
You know, if you really wanted to No, well, I'm all over the place, but you have to look at the national environment. And as we've said several times, so much local politics is now national. You know, I think if Trump had won in 2020, I think you would have seen a more credible... would have seen Tim Ryan run for governor. You would have seen a member of Congress run for governor. You might have seen Sherrod Brown run for governor in 22, because if he won, he'd get to appoint his successor. So, you know, I don't think, you know, obviously Nan Whaley wasn't the best the Democrats had to offer just because of how she performed. But I think if the national environment would have been more favorable, like it is now, you would have seen more of an investment. But you know, on the other hand, the Democrats are the party of beyond the white guy, whereas the Republicans aren't so much. So if you know, you sort for the Democrats, it helps them to have a woman at the top of the ticket or a person of color at the top of the ticket, because you know we brand ourselves more as the party of inclusion, and if you want to bring out the members of your base, you know, if you really want to bring out women, you really want to bring out people of color, then, you know, probably you would want to put, you know, someone who falls into one of those groups on the top of the ticket.
I'm just saying, if you're running against an incumbent governor, somebody who's been in politics for as long as Mike DeWine has, do you want to run the first woman to ever get the party's nomination? Do you want to run a mayor from Dayton?
Well, we remember the mayor of Cincinnati ran against Nan Whaley in the primary, and you know he was just boat raced. I mean, I think he lost Hamilton County by like 3 votes, or like he lost 88 counties or something close to it. So I guess when given the choice between a woman and a guy, the Democrats picked the woman, and it wasn't even close.
Yeah, but can anybody even remember the guy's name?
John Cranley. Yeah. I don't remember how you say it, but
and I think his campaign was almost non-existent because it was during the COVID times.
Yeah, like I don't know. I think
Nan Whaley got all that press, didn't she, for telling Trump to she got in his face or something in Dayton.
I thought that was DeWine.
Was it DeWine?
Yeah, it was that. But that didn't go anywhere. And, you know, I
thought that was Trump.
Well, I don't think they would have let her get
because
that.
Because wasn't there a school shooting in Dayton?
It was DeWine. She just said, do something. You know, I don't think it was huge or anything. But, you know, Nan Whaley...
Because I'm trying to remember what made her such a
It was that. It was a shooting in Dayton, and she confronted Mike DeWine about it.
I don't think confronting Mike DeWine would get you a lot of press.
Because Trump doesn't normally go to the site of school shootings.
But I thought he did with that one.
Well, he would have, I hate to say it like this, but he would have gone to a shooting with more deaths.
Okay, well, maybe. I don't know, but I'm just curious.
On paper, though, she would have thought she was a good... She was not only the mayor of Dayton for a long time, saw growth in Dayton, led them through that shooting.
No, she... There it is.
Oh, she did?
Yes,
oh,
it was
oh,
Trump.
So that must have been... So that looks like it was at the airport then.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I remember there was something to that. There was a...
She also said something to DeWine. They were on a stage at some... But, I mean, in fairness to Trump, he probably had no idea who that was, and he's used to people yelling.
No, but I think she had said something rather negative about him, and I think that's what gave her the platform to run for governor.
But, you know, she wasn't just the mayor of Dayton, but she was the president of the National Conference of Mayors, you know? Not that that means anything to a voter in Miami County, but, you know, she had experience. You know, it's hard to run a good campaign when there's no money behind you. And just, that's the least of, when you're running against a 50-year incumbent, when you're running against, you know, when the national environment is not in your favor, it's hard to get people to, you know, hard to convince people to donate their time or their resources. And I don't know, I think there are a lot of lessons to be learned from then. There's a lot of lessons to be learned from how the Democrats ran their campaign in 24, having worked on it. So... I don't know. Again, this is the Republicans' race to lose, and the Democrats, it's, you know, we have to do something differently.
I mean, Crump attacked her.
Okay.
And then she said she was at a loss as to why he was attacking her. And apparently happening now on CNN, law enforcement and protesters clash in Minnesota after woman is killed by ICE officers. So there you go.
Well, yeah, that's not going away. I mean, poor Minneapolis. I mean, they just don't catch any break. But
so where does this race end up? I think it's also fascinating because you've got two people known outside of the state of Ohio.
Yeah.
They're both, quasi-celebrities.
Which, yeah, that's going to, you know, I feel like, if anything, it may hurt Amy Acton because, you know, you're pulling, yeah, you're pulling in national Democrats, but you're also pulling in popular national Republicans to give money, to donate their, you know, to come speak. You know, anytime you nationalize a race, it can become dangerous. Even if Trump is not popular, you know, it can still be dangerous. So, but on the other hand, I think her campaign can utilize that in a smart way. You don't get Biden or Harris, you know, you get Obama and you get, you know, I don't know, other national Dems you might want, but, you know, you get Obama and you maybe get others.
Well, wouldn't you want Hillary? Wouldn't you want Hillary if you are the first woman? Or no, I guess she's not the first woman. Nan Whaley was the first woman.
I'm gonna sit the Hillary.
Here we go on the Hillary.
I wouldn't do Hillary just because she lost Ohio by 8 points when she was supposed to win it.
So no Kamala Harris either.
Good one. But, you know, you get Andy Beshear, you get, you know, well-known Democrats that aren't, you know, get the governor of Kansas who's a Democrat to come stump. You know, like, you can do stuff like that, but we'll certainly see a bunch of TV ads because it'll be a national race, in essence. But, yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I don't know. I feel like I haven't really made a prediction. I mean, assuming Trump only gets more unpopular, it would bode even better for Acton. But I've read that Vivek is trying to, you know, sort of alter his camp. You know, he's trying to come off less luxury, less nerd-like.
Yes. Well, apparently he's taking a break from social media or something like that. Very interesting.
Yes.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, this is something you could debate or talk about. What do you think? If President Trump gets impeached and removed from office, we'll have an election.
On the
governor election here in Iowa.
Well, I highly unlikely that he's going to be impeached.
The Democrats won't. Trump won't even face impeachment until after the midterms. But, you know, if he were impeached tomorrow, that, you know, he wouldn't be removed. Impeachment, I think, you know, because when the Republicans impeached Clinton, it was for political purposes. So since then, I'm sure how they viewed it when the Democrats did it to Trump, even though they had a legitimate reason, impeachment is political, and you sort of slap it on if the president you don't like.
A lot of Republicans that are getting fed up with, you know, every day you hear something different. And he said on that oil money that we're going to get the money and he'll personally keep track of it.
The thing that bothers me with that is there's a lot of Republicans who are privately, they're not happy, but they could never say so publicly because they would get death threats. They would lose their next election. As you know, yeah, it's easy to stand up to Trump privately, but it does not matter unless you do it publicly.
Well, I think there's a good chance.
See, I don't understand that. I don't know. I don't understand why, if you don't like somebody, there's death threats now. What is that?
Well, that's the MAGA.
Well, yeah, but what isn't that illegal still in this country to threaten somebody's life, especially a congressperson?
They learn this stuff from their leader.
Evidently, it's legal to kill people in the state of Minnesota. I mean, you know, there are no laws anymore.
Well, there you go.
Here for my life. I got you, that person.
Well, hey, I want to get one more subject in here. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Okay.
Well, what about this? Wesleyan Davis, Ben Weber now have another person in the primary.
Again, another person from Marysville. You know, God, can't we get someone from Mary? Like, can we get Schauber to run for state rep? Can we get Merrick Collins to run for state rep?
I don't think that Schauber feels he can win, but, you know, this. Why is Wolf getting in? Because you've got.
Hold on, just for the viewers at home, tell them his background so we know who this Wolf.
Well, I believe he's. He works in the Marysville government, doesn't he?
Well, you can click on his profile and see what.
He's like a city council person over there.
I think he's a Marysville city councilman.
Yeah. Okay, so if you've got Wesleyan and you've got Ben Weber and you're this close to the primary and both of these people are all in on Vivek, both of these people are all in on Trump, why this guy?
You know, some people, you would think people in elected positions would have good political instincts. It turns out a lot of people have bad political instincts.
Is he just going to say the same thing?
Yeah.
I like Vivek,
sure.
I like Trump. And
I'm sure, I'm saying this with respect, because if he comes on your show, I don't want to be accused of poisoning the well like I was for others, but I don't now you have three clones, you know, you could.
But is he a clone? I would have to think he feels something different than was.
Have you asked him on your show?
We've talked, yes.
Will he be coming on your show?
He might be.
I hope. This is the big surprise. He'll be on tomorrow.
He'll just show up out of the blue.
He'll get mad at me for saying
that. No, I'm just saying there's got to be something different about this guy, or why run?
Again, one would think, but, you know.
What's the problem with Wesleyan and Ben? Let's get to that.
I don't think there is one. I know you
like them both. They're dear friends of yours.
I know, as you pointed out, some of Wesleyan Davis's attack ads on Tracy Richardson and Tracy Richardson were, you know, a little too negative for some people. But, you know, nobody really. They're both young. They're both experienced, and they're, you know, they. Wesleyan Davis has held public office. Stephen Wolf has held public office.
But is he an attack dog? Is this the only thing I can figure? If he's no different, if he's Vivek Ramaswamy and Donald Trump and blah, 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 is this the Tracy Richardson group that doesn't like Wesleyan Davis saying that Ben Weber is just not an attack dog enough? So we're going to slip this guy in because he will go right after her.
If you're the Tracy Richardson's sect of the party and you don't like Wesleyan Davis, you would not run two candidates against her splitting the vote.
Well, but maybe they feel Ben Weber's non-existent. I don't know. There's got to be something. That's what I would ask this guy, if he's listening. What is different about you than Wesleyan Davis and Ben Weber?
And I hope he has a really good answer. I hope he just, you know, because at the end of the day, if I'm a resident of, I think this is still the 86th House District, how would my life be different if it were Wesleyan Davis voting on my behalf in Columbus, if it were Ben Weber voting on my behalf, or if it were Stephen Wolf voting on my behalf?
Official campaign kickoff's not till the 15th.
Okay, that's. Have the other two had official campaign kickoffs yet?
I think Ben Weber, we had him that day. I think it was around. It was during the fair. And Wesleyan, I think there was a party or something. You didn't get an invite to that?
I didn't get an invite.
I can't imagine that.
But just, I think this is a bigger conversation. And there are, you know, obviously if, you know, you're a Democrat in a big city, there's going to be a lot of people running. If you're a Republican in a rural area, there's going to be a lot of people running. But, you know, you have to be smart enough to know there can really only ever be two candidates, because everyone's going to be similar enough to where your only differences will be factional and marginal. You know, it's one or the other. And I don't know. In this case, it appears to be that it's just one. There's only one decision it's a pro-Vivek, pro-Trump, big-time MAGA Republican, only, you know, divided among two, maybe three people.
You know, I'm looking at this thing in Cleveland last night. It was held, like, in a small room. It's not a great big room.
Yeah, and so I follow Casey Putsch on Twitter just for the entertainment.
Yeah.
He got in there, and he took a selfie in the back of the room, and, you know, there
was... He was there?
He was there.
Oh, see, that's not going to be popular.
And, you know, he's, you know, to take a look at how empty this room is.
Was it empty?
I'm sure he did the old take the picture before everybody shows up and while the overhead lights are still on. But I think the, you know, the point with that is, you know, he's not filling up arenas like Trump would be.
Well, Casey Putsch.
It's how well does he do in Marion County? How well does he do? You know, maybe not even Marion. You might have to go to counties that don't have a big city. I say big city. They don't have an anchor like Marion in them. Like, go somewhere, you know, Morrow has Mount Gilead. Like, counties that are more on the border, maybe, and don't have a big city in them, like a Marion or a Marysville or a Mount Gilead or a Cardington or a, you know, Bucyrus, you know. How do they do in those places?
You'll have to come back soon. We've run out of time.
Well, I'm on break for... What's the 8th? I go back on the 25th.
Well, you got a while.
I do have a while.
You might be able to make it back one more time before the...
It's flying by, though. It's not going to be fun going back.
Well, you know, it's college.
Well, I'll be fine. It's the process of going, of
getting ready.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a... Well, thank you for coming in.
Thank you for
having
me.
Linda Sims is coming up next, 10 to noon, and Adam from 12 to 1. Scott Spears for this day, heading for the dugout.
The one I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help